Enter in, enter in to God's presence, enter in. Put on your garments of worship.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
A heart that hungers and thirsts after God. It has been something that I've prayed for since becoming a Christian. I was 15. And God did such a powerful work in my life as a teenager that I have never questioned or doubted the work that took place that night. My prayer has always been for our young people to realize that God is not just a religious institution or just a religious thing that we do, but God is real. He encounters our hearts. He encounters our lives. And He desires to manifest His presence in His church and in our families. That hunger and that thirst that I had for God as a young man would take me, after all of the things that teenagers do, it would take me many, many, many nights down to the Hope Sound Beach where I would walk and I would cry out to God. Michael, I love to see the zeal in your life. God gave me that kind of zeal. And I'm sure there were many people who looked at me and said, "He sure is zealous, but he doesn't have much sense." And I'm sure that was true, because there was just a fire that God lit inside of me that could not be put out. And my father was radical. He didn't mind standing up for Christ anywhere he went. And I had that kind of an example. I'm concerned that many young people today do not have that kind of an example. That many churches do not have elders and leaders in their midst that have so experienced the presence and the power of the Holy God that they're ignited with His presence and with their pursuit of Him. I'm concerned that many of our children have seen more passion for sports, more passion for activities, more passion for money, more passion for many different things other than passion for God. But when God truly changes a heart, there is a transformation that not only brings us into the kingdom, but it begins to give us an appetite for the things of God. Anyone who tells me that they are a Christian but has no appetite for the things of God troubles me. There's something wrong if someone is born again and does not have an appetite for the Word of God, does not have an appetite to get with the people of God, does not have an appetite to know God better, that does not have a faith that begins to grow, to desire to see God work with, yes, the fullness of His Word, with signs and wonders and miracles in their life. I believe many new believers start out with that kind of fire, and then they meet a dead church. And they're exposed to a dead minister, a dead ministry team that does not have faith, does not have action, and does not expect God to show up today in the way He's shown up in the past. And my prayer is in these days that God will do it again. Do it again. I didn't start out in Pentecost. I didn't start out in a Pentecostal church. I was in a Wesleyan Holiness church, and they used to call the Wesleyans holy rollers. You know why? Because when they had camp meetings, the fire of God would fall in those meetings. Some would go out in the Spirit for minutes or hours or days. They would go out and find a place to pray, and they would seek God until the heavens opened and the power of God changed the circumstances on the earth. I've read of Baptists who have been full of the Holy Spirit and have spoke with new tongues and have been so moved by God that they did not fit into their old theological structure. God began to do things in my life, and I pray that He's doing things in your life that exceeded my understanding. It was more than I expected. It was more than I was taught. God began to do the more stuff in and around my life. And that gave me an appetite for more. As a young man seeking God on the Hope Sound Beach, there were nights the sky became God's screen to speak into my life. Fasting. I didn't know anything about fasting. And I tried a little bit of it. I never found it comfortable. Little fasting. Years would pass. I was hungry for more of God. I was in Bible college. I was studying. I took theology of holiness. I wanted to have a pure heart and a pure life. Not just a pure heart. I wanted to have a pure life. I wanted to think pure. I wanted to communicate pure. I wanted to have purity in my motives, my intentions. I desired that. How many of you understand that's what a born-again life is like? This is what happens. When you're born again, God begins to change you, and you begin to have a desire to not only know the Father and be in the Father's house, but begin to live like a king's kid. We used to have a ministry in town. It was called King's Kids. It was at the Methodist church. And it was wonderful. They had church in the big church, and then over in the small first church next door, they had King's Kids. And at King's Kids, they could believe God for everything over there. And they did. And God began to minister. I began to develop an appetite for more of God. My wife and I, we were married. I remember in those early days after we were married, nights when I would be on my face before God saying, God, I know there's more. I know there's more. I know you want to do more in my life. I know you want to do more in Florida. You want to do more in my family. You want to do more in my nation. I know that you have something better than what I'm living in. As I would cry out to God those nights, there were many nights that I would drift in and out of sleep as I was crying out to God. And God sent to the area through Full Gospel a gentleman by the name of Gerald Durstein. Gerald Durstein was a pastor that had been in the Mennonite church who received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it changed him. And I heard him talk about this baptism of the Holy Spirit, a Pentecost in his life. I got his book. I read his book. And I read how God began to do a work in him that was more than what he had ever been taught in his background. Many of you have been to Bradenton and you've been to the campus there, and over the years there have been many, many great moves of God through that ministry that's still there today. But I begin to think, God, if you did that for Gerald Durstein, certainly there's something more that you have for me. You would not give me this hunger unless you are planning to do something with it. If God's put a hunger in your heart, it's because He plans to do something with it. He doesn't plan to just make you hungry and then have you walk by and say, boy, I sure am glad that that works for somebody else. I'm glad that Dylan's got it. I'm glad that Dylan can enjoy it. But I guess it's not for me. And some of us have went to the conventions. We've been to Benny Hinn Convention. Yesterday I was talking with Blanche, and she was talking about the early days of the Miami Crusades, wherein revivalists would come to the community, people were healed, lines would be outside, and God was moving. He used men, He used women, and Blanche was talking about how the power of God would just flow and fall in those days, and I was hungry for this as a young believer. God, there's got to be more. I want to tell you, that hunger led us forward. Led us forward. And we were introduced to people that spoke of things in the Spirit that I had not heard, I had not been taught, though I'd went through all of the theologies I could take. I'd read of the early revivalists, read of the camp meetings that were held out under the stars. And I said, God, where am I in all of this, and what are you going to do in my life? I would end up at some full gospel meetings. I would listen to a Ralph Marinacci, who did not talk a lot about his gang days. Someone connected in some ways with the mafia that had ran on the wrong side, and he came into the kingdom through being born again. And then he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I listened to this man, and I said, Father, if there is more than a dunk in the water, I want to have all that you have for me. And I started praying that dangerous prayer, Father, all that you provided through your death and resurrection, I want to have everything that you desire to give me. Everything. And that hunger would lead me to the front, and I would have an individual pray for me and say, all you got to do is talk like a baby, say abba dabba do, and that's what it's all about. And I remember leaving that night and thinking to myself, when I asked this man, show me in the Word of God where it says I'm supposed to talk like a baby, and then if you can show it to me, then I'll believe it. If you don't show it to me, I'm not going to believe it. If it's in the Word, I want it. If it's not in the Word, I don't want it. I don't want your opinions. I don't want how you feel about it. I don't want your experience. I want all that God has for me. And I believe the world is hungry for what God has, but many have become sick for what we have had. They want a real God. They want a living God. They want a God who is interacting in their lives. And the hunger and the thirst went on. And one evening after a Wednesday night, after being chased by people trying to lay hands on me, laying hands on me, praying for me, I just kept telling the Father, I want to make sure that whatever you do in my life is you doing the work. I don't care about the feelings. I don't care about the goosebumps. What I want is a genuine move and work of God in my life that's going to change this old McLean to be more like Jesus. That's what I need. And one night, I was driving home from a Wednesday night service, and all I can tell you is the glory of heaven showed up in my little pickup truck. I couldn't drive. I couldn't see the road. I didn't know what I was saying. I didn't know what was going on. But something happened as I was hungering and thirsting after God that filled me up and was overflowing, and I couldn't stop the flow, and it hasn't stopped to this day. But that night, when I finally sort of could see again, a voice spoke as loud as could be and said, now one thing for sure, that wasn't God. The lying devil always shows up when there's revival going on in your life. He will question you. He will question what you think other people are going to think about you. The devil will judge your intentions. The devil will judge your spiritual life. He will judge you in all kinds of ways. But when God begins to work in you, nobody can stop it, and all of hell cannot stop it if you just keep saying yes to God. That night, by the time I got home, I thought, I can't explain to my wife what happened. I don't even know what happened. I just know that God is meeting the hunger that's inside my heart. Let me jump ahead from those days back 30-some years ago. We just had a 21-day feast on the Lord. I want to tell you something after this 21-day fast that we've just had. I'm hungrier now than I've ever been before. Last night, took my wife out for dinner. I know none of you would know this, but she just had a birthday. She turned 16. And she's not here, so I can pick on her a little bit. So took her out to dinner, and we had a very nice dinner last night. And I told my wife and my family, I don't think I'm going to need to eat for another year. I'm full. And it was delicious. And Jay said something like, Dad, you'll get over it in 12 hours. And he was right. I was up eating back to my oatmeal this morning, so I was back on track with what I should be eating. And I was hungry again this morning. And let me just not only suggest, but tell you something. The more of God you get, the more of God you're going to want. It's not like a little dab will do you. When you begin to hunger and thirst for God, you are on a journey that God loves and God will respond to, and God is never going to run out of more. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed. Say blessed. That Greek word is makarios. It means right or righteous. Blessed. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I'm so glad that's not the end of the verse. If that was the end of the verse, and you're kind of new in your journey with God, then you might think, well, I did that already. But this verse, it's like all the other verses here. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom. You haven't seen, you haven't experienced, you haven't even began to experience what all is in the kingdom. But you're in the kingdom. The kingdom's in you. You're in Christ. Blessed are those who mourn. They will be comforted. You have not seen the end. If you're going to live very long, there may be a few more tears. Blessed are the meek. That's not the weak. It's not saying blessed are the weak. It's saying blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who are humbled before God so that God's mighty strength can lift you up. For they will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For what? It's not a maybe, not a could be, not sort of maybe for some, but they will be filled. That was a part of my desire and prayer early on. And it is my prayer still yet this morning. Father, I desire to live with a hunger and thirst for righteousness that nothing else can satisfy other than your filling. People run a lot of places looking to have satisfaction. What did the old songwriter, the worldly songwriter, sing? I can't get no satisfaction. And as long as you're looking to satisfy the flesh, the flesh may get filled up for a moment, but then it's going to be hungry again. But there's something about God, it's a different kind of hunger. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. You can be filled up and still be hungry and still be satisfied at the same time in God. You can be hungry and full at the same time. Doesn't make sense. I understand that. But I came off of this 21-day period being full of God's presence and yet having a hunger that I believe is stoked by the very Holy Spirit that is, I believe, as great, maybe greater than ever in my life before. And I pray that for you. I pray that for you. Now, you may not like the way I'm going to pray for you, but I'm going to pray that you have such a hunger and thirst for God that you do not start a day recklessly without starting it in His presence. You may not like the way I'm going to pray for you, but I'm going to pray for you that you so encounter God's presence that once you experience it in the morning, that you will not want to leave His presence all day long. You're going to want to walk in the favor of God every minute of the day. You're not going to want to think, speak, or do anything that's going to grieve that presence of the Holy Spirit that's in your life. And I'm going to pray something else for you. I'm going to pray that you don't care what anybody else thinks about your walk with God. That you grow so tall and so strong in the Lord that it does not matter to you if the neighbors are excited or they're not excited, if your relatives are supportive or not supportive, if your flesh is cooperative or not, that you are going to be red hot and radical for God, regardless of what's going on in the world around us. That's my prayer for you. It's my prayer over my family. I pray that we are radical for Jesus. I pray that everybody who knows me and knows you will know that our God is real, that our God is alive, that our God is filling His people, changing His people, empowering His people. My prayer is that the church would clearly represent who Jesus is in this generation. That we would not be so religious that people only know the name of the preacher and the name on the sign, but they will get acquainted with the God who is Lord of the universe, Lord of the heavens, and Lord of the earth. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Philippians chapter 1, another verse I want to tag on to this one. Philippians chapter 1, great book. Verse 3. I have the NIV with me this morning, so that's what I'm reading out. I thank my God every time I remember you. Isn't that a great memory? God, could you just give us all that kind of a memory? That when we look at each other as believers, that the first thing we think of is thanking God for you. That's an awesome way to think. And you know, that would take care of gossip, I believe. If we just said, you know, my calling is to be your cheerleader. My place is to be your prayer partner. My ministry is to lift up Jesus, not only in through my life, but in your life. I'm here to encourage you in your walk. God, make me more of that kind of a person. Paul is saying, I thank God every time I remember you, or you come to my memory. In all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Isn't that awesome? I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. He's saying from the time you came into the kingdom, you never stopped growing forward. From the first day you believed, you never cast away your confidence. You never turned back. You never went back to the old life. Once you tasted, you saw that the Lord is good and nothing else was going to satisfy you. Paul is saying, every time I think about you, I remember where you were and where God started immediately to bring you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. Verse 6, this is the verse. Being confident of this. Confidence. Absolutely convinced. Being confident of this. That He who began, you know this, don't you? We even sing a song about it. He that began a good work in you. Yeah. He who began a good work in you will, say will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He that began a good work in you is going to keep working in you. That means if I look at Brother Dylan and I see that, you know, his shoe has a little mud on the toe, and I see that he's only jumping 6 inches instead of 6 feet, that I can have great joy toward Brother Dylan because I know that God's not finished with him. How would this change things in our prayer life for one another if we always knew that God was at work and we're not going to see the finished product because God's still working. He's still moving. He's still developing. He's still changing me. I mean, it started when I was 15. There ought to be some signs of life. But let me tell you something. You have not reached the finish line, and God is not finished yet. And that means that if you are still in the race and you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, then God has more for you. And so, what did Bill Gothard, I was a kid going to his seminars, he had a big button. And on the button it said, "Please be patient, God is not finished with me yet." It's not an excuse for misbehavior. It is a statement of absolute reality. It's not that I'm trying to excuse my weaknesses or my failures. It's that I simply want to remind you that I can't make me any better. I cannot change me. Only a holy God can change me.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His Word. Hearken to the voice of God to thee. Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We'll be right back.
rest in His arms. All the wealthy and the proud, all the rulers and the kings, all the victims of our nature found freedom in His wings. So come, behold the saints and all the lovers of His name. For Christ has made a way, He calls us now to sing His praise. We sing His praise. All the faithful and devoted, all the humble and the lowly, all in need of a Savior, our God is here. He is here. So come, call the saints and all the lovers above His name. For Christ has made a way, He calls us now to sing His praise.
What path must I travel down? can't hide this love that I have. Got to sing about this love I've found. You to me are everything I ever need. In my eyes I see nothing but you. Within my heart you still walk beside me every day. There's no greater love than your love. I travel down. I can't hide this love that I have. Got to sing about this love I've found. You to me are everything I ever need. In my eyes I see nothing but you. Within my heart you still walk beside me every day. There's no greater love than your love.
Hey, this is Pastor Josh from Calvary Chapel in Palm City. We want to invite you to listen to our brand new radio program, Verse by Verse, on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. and 10:30 p.m. here on WCNO. We are super excited to share the teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Palm City with you. For more information, please visit 772church.com.
Same again. For life. day with the question, what am I searching for? And in this world of disappointment, every soul is reaching out for something pure, something right, something perfectly bright. There is one single light in a world of darkness, one single light in a world of gray, one single light shines through the night. Jesus is his name, Jesus. Yet don't know of its power. Assume it's just a word. When you call the name of Jesus, in an instant he is there with open arms to rescue you, to see you through. He's the way, the truth, was one single light in a world of darkness, one single light.
Single light in a world of gray. One single. Your spirit is tearing down walls built on the pride of men. And to those who've rejected him, he's reaching his hand out.